Welcome to the Giraffe Social Media Podcast. It's what social media managers are talking about. I'm Laura, and today I'm joined by some amazing members of the Giraffe team, as usual. So today we've got Senior Social Media Manager Dom.
Hello.
Social Media Manager Jordan.
Hi.
And Social Media Assistant Chloe.
Hello.
As always, in our coffee break episodes, we bring a topic to the table that we want to have a chat about and get each other's thoughts on. But to start with, I have got a question for you all. So what do you love most about working in social media marketing? Chloe, do you want to start us off?
I would love to. I think, and maybe this might be everyone's answer because it's fairly obvious, but I do love the creativity about it. And I guess also actually learning about different industries. I am now just like full of facts about all my clients' industries that I like to bring out at random times, which my partner loves and hates. but it's really great getting to know like different clients and taking on their voices and getting creative for them.
Amazing. No, I totally agree. I actually, over the weekend, when my car like basically broke down, and because one of our clients is a car garage, I was like, hang on.
I know what that number off my heart.
I know what that light means. I know I don't need to panic. This is what I need to do. So yeah, definitely agree. Jordan, what about you? What do you love most?
I would say similar to Chloe, the creative side. I really like making posts, and I don't know if my answer's a bit cringy, but I would say it's knowing that your content has value to the people that actually see it. Obviously, you get that a lot through community management when you see people comment on things. But I mean, an example would be that I worked for a client that has a series for a children's TV show. And a fan sort of shared a drawing of the characters on the TV show, which we then asked to reshare, and we reshared. And you could just tell how happy he was and how like thoughtful he was. And it was just very nice and very cute. And makes me happy.
Oh,
I just love user generated content as well. So
yeah, no, I know which client you're talking about, Jordan, and it's the cutest, the cutest thing ever. Dom.
Yeah, I think for me, a couple of things. Like, I really love the fact, as sort of Chloe mentioned, being able to work in so many different industries. Like, it's great learning from, you know, it's not boring. I think that's in sort of different pies, if that's the saying. But yeah, I really like that aspect of it. And I really love, how strategic you can be with, you know, whether you're running ads or anything like that, you can really get a detailed understanding of if what you're doing is working or not based on the results that you're achieving. And then having that sort of flexibility and freedom to be able to make decisive decisions based on that. And, I really love that sort of part of, social.
Yeah, for sure. No. And I think sort of leading on from all of your points, like I would say the thing that I love most is like how, although as we're going to sort of go on, it's probably a bit of a struggle, but the thing that I love most is that it's constantly evolving and constantly changing. There's always something new to learn. And I think like you said, Dom, like it just keeps it exciting, keeps us on our toes, and just you can't get bored of something if it's continuously evolving and changing. So yeah, great. Well, thank you all so much for sharing what you love most. So this week we are going to be discussing the struggles of being a social media manager, which I'm sure you'll all agree there are many. Whilst it can be the most fun and creative job, it does come with some challenges. So we're going to be talking through some of the most recognised challenges mentioned by our Instagram followers and chat about ways in which we can either overcome them or at least like ease the struggle a little bit. So I'm going to start us off with, I think, was one of the most sort of common struggles that came up, and that was like creating fresh and meaningful content every day. So sort of, how do you avoid that content burnout? How do you sort of overcome that? Obviously, as social media managers, we've got to be kept on our toes. We've got to be creating fresh, engaging content. And I think, like you touched upon, Jordan, one of the things that you love most is like giving audiences value. But like, obviously, doing that all the time, it can be challenging. So what are sort of things, I guess, social media managers can do to overcome that burnout?
I think it's good to remember that, like, inspiration is everywhere. Like, you may kind of, you know, 1 week be feeling really burnt out, but then over the weekend, like, while you're on social media for your own personal purposes, see something and you can, like, just, you know, secretly bank it in the back of your head, being like, oh, that's a really great idea for one of my clients. But I think also a little hack is that if you really try, you can like fit a trend into any industry. Like, you can create a post that works for every single client that you have. Like, and this is especially big when it comes to like memes that are floating around, like, you know, the Bernie Sanders meme we always bring up on this podcast, but I can't think of a client that it wouldn't really apply to that in some way, and still be like really funny and engaging. So I think definitely, you know, through lockdown, we've seen a lot of trends that, you know, a lot of us have put into play with our clients, and they've worked really well. So definitely that might not ease the burnout for you, because it definitely like will come and go, but it will help you in, you know, batch creating your posts and making it a lot easier to create schedules for your clients.
Yeah, definitely. I find myself, or my photo album on my phone is just full of screenshots anyway.
Screenshots.
so many screenshots of like social posts that I've seen that I'm like, oh, you know, I could recreate that for this client. Or it's like you said, Chloe, like create, I guess, a bank of ideas, so that when you feel like, oh, I'm stuck, I'm out of ideas, you can go to your photo album, which is what I do, and I'm like, I'm sure I screenshotted stuff. And like you say, yeah, there's so many things that can be applied to so many different industries and clients. So and I also think there's just something we're really good at doing at Giraffe is like asking the team for ideas, or asking your team for ideas, because you're more than likely, because I know I do it sometimes, so you sit and think like, you know, completely out of ideas. There's nothing new. There's nothing more we can do. And then before you know it, you speak to someone and, you know, you've got a handful of new ideas and new content that you can put out there and create. Yeah.
I think it's also like important to remember that with social media, you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. Like, yeah, it's great to, you know, come up with something new, but some of your best ideas are just repurposing previous ones. I think once you remember that it doesn't have to be groundbreaking, it can kind of take the pressure off a little bit and make it easier for you to like, yeah, come up with some ideas or repurpose in areas.
I completely agree with both of your points. And going back to Laura's point about just asking the team, I would say that, is this the right saying that two heads are better than one, two brains are better than one? Whenever I sort of have a brainstorm session, I just always think the more the merrier. Obviously you have to give context and stuff like that, but I just think I like the idea of ideas sort of jumping off each person, and every single one that I've had has really helped me. So yeah, that'd be my main thing, asking the team.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think you're right. Like, I don't know what the saying is, two brains, two heads, two minds, unsure, but all the same thing. So yeah, no, love that. Another struggle that came up was people undermining the job role and believing that because they have their own personal Instagram account, they're fully qualified to be a full-time social media professional, which is quite interesting, actually, because I think marketing in general can be fairly undermined. I know, like, in previous jobs that I've had, it's been sort of like, oh, you only work in marketing, like, it's not that hard, like, anyone can do it kind of thing. I guess this sort of struggle that you come up against, there's not there's not necessarily a way to overcome it other than sort of having confidence in your abilities, believing that what you're doing is amazing, and not everyone can do it. There's so many elements, as you all know, to social media marketing and marketing in general as well, that that a lot of other people wouldn't be able to do without our expertise. So ignore the haters.
Definitely. It's like you could have the best donut business ever, and your donuts are delicious, so delicious. But if your marketing isn't there, nobody's ever going to know about it, are they? So it's so important that you find the right person, the right industry to help, you know, build that brand awareness for your brand. Like, because I cut the grass doesn't mean I'm suddenly a specialist in gardening, does it? You know, you really need to make sure that you find that experience, you know, agency or team, and, you know, the sort of idea that social media managers are just there to post and that's all they do, like, is, yeah, not right whatsoever. There's so many different aspects you need to think about, so many strategies, you know, whether it's advertising, organic, you know, even like blog content, so much to think about. And yeah, so a specialist in the field is required.
Yeah, I so agree with Dom. Like, I think about this role, like, as a creative assistant or social media assistant, and I still work within the industry, but, you know, there are people here that work at Giraffe where, like, Dom, like, I could never do Dom's job. I, like, cannot wrap my head around, like, social media advertising. And, like, Amber is our content marketing assistant. She writes blogs. Like, I couldn't possibly, you know, write 10 to 15, 500-word blogs a month. Like, it's too much. So I think you just kind of have to remember that it's the same with every job. Like, I think there are misconceptions about it. Like, I don't know, teaching, for example, people might think that's really easy, but just base level teaching is like the job description, but there's so much involved behind the scenes that, you know, involves like a lot of focus and attention and skills. So I don't know if there's any way that you can kind of get over that misconception that people might have about the job role. But I think, yeah, it kind of just comes from within, knowing that there's a lot of ignorance surrounding that misconception. So
I would say for me, a lot of my friends are in social media, so we all sort of get it. But I would say for me, it's maybe sort of older family members that just don't really get what you're doing. I think my nan said once, she just sort of said, so what do you do? Just Facebook all day. And I don't know what Facebook means, but maybe I do. I don't know. But so, yeah, I just don't think she really understands. I try to explain over and over, but I don't know. She just, yeah, doesn't understand.
No. I completely agree. My nan, I'm sure for ages she thought I was doing something to do with radio. Don't know, no idea where that had come from, but I was just like, not quite, but
I mean, you do host a podcast every now and then. Yeah, so you're so short.
So actually, I think I'm actually a radio presenter, and I cook myself dinner every night, so I'm a chef, so I'm racking up those skills. Cool. Another struggle, which is what I mentioned, was like one of my favorite things about being in social media marketing, was staying up to date with the latest trends and best practices. Obviously, that can be really challenging, because trying to always like stay up to date with something, the time you're up to date with something has changed, so then you have to learn something new, and obviously that can be difficult to do, sort of never get your head above water. So I would say, like, obviously joining webinars or signing up to newsletters or just doing some online research in itself can be really helpful, just so you can sort of get an idea of what the latest trends are and the best practices. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to jump onto every single trend and join in, but I think just sort of being aware, knowing what's there, and maybe sort of knowing as well what's coming, so that you can jump onto maybe the next thing, because things are changing like so consistently that you can kind of, you're kind of always behind anyway. So I would say in this instance, like, don't stress about always being on top of trends. Just make yourself aware of them. Join in if you can. If you can't, you know, there's going to be a next one. There's going to be another one tomorrow. So
I would say there's two words this section, which would probably be Facebook ads for me. They change so often and it's hard for me to sort of keep up to date. I mean, I try, but I mean, something that that has helped me, it's not for Facebook, it was for LinkedIn, was the LinkedIn courses. I've done a few of those,
mm-hmm.
Sort of in terms of best practices. I think they do cost, but I think you have a month free. So if you can try and cram loads into 1 month and then quit, that's what I did.
I've done
so
that.
I'd recommend that.
Sure as well. I did it. I got a month free. And then when I went to like cancel the subscription, it asked me if I wanted another month free. So I got 2 months.
There you go. That's what you have to do.
No, that's good advice though. Because I think a lot of the platforms sort of have their online resources as well to help, like even Facebook ads, like there's the blueprint courses you can take part in. It's just like keep up to date with what's going on. But yeah, you're so right, Jordan. Just permanently changing.
I agree. I think another great way to stay up to date with like platform changes and industry trends is to tune in to this podcast, because, you know, we always do a monthly roundup of things that have changed. So that's definitely a super useful tip. But I guess just like as social media managers, we're on social media all day, every day anyway. So you're bound to kind of catch on to things that are changing, like especially when it comes to like posting trends and things like that. Like you'll just mm-hmm. see it naturally. And another great tip that I've recently kind of got myself into is following other social media managers on like Instagram or Twitter, like that kind of thing, because they like their main purpose on their own like kind of personal accounts is to just post like tips and trends and hacks and things. So I think if you're in the industry, you kind of, you have to like connect with other people, and that's a great way to see what's going on and see what other people are doing, which I guess ties into our previous comment, which is like brainstorming with other people. You see ideas from like peers and people in the industry, and then you can kind of bounce off that yourself. So it's a really great thing that I've been doing.
Yeah, amazing. Oh, I love that advice.
Yeah, I was also say that I think another sort of idea of how you can sort of gauge on what content is working and what you could maybe even continue doing and do more of. And Chloe, you said about repurposing old content. So what I say is like maybe look into more like social listening tools, like engage with your audiences, get a better understanding of what they're liking and what you know, you can get a sense of what they're engaging with the most, and have that conversation with and interact with your audiences. You know, as a social media manager, that's something that we do a lot. There's a lot of community management, and you can really get a good understanding of of what they're sort of saying and what they like. If you tend to see that post maybe isn't getting a lot of engagement, then maybe that's something that maybe you might not want to try going forward. But if they're showing that is getting a decent amount of engagement, then that's maybe a topic that is resonating with your audiences. So maybe you could add a few more posts on that topic, do a series on it. You know, there's definitely have a look at your insights, engage with your audiences and get a better understanding of, you know, let them tell you what is working and what to try out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that's kind of like key, isn't it? Is follow the data. What does the data tell me? Like, I just have to drum that into myself all the time. I'm like, what is this telling me? What am I learning from it? And how am I going to sort of follow the strategy going forward? So, another common struggle that came up was juggling multiple brand guidelines and tones of voices and visuals and all of that, particularly for those social media managers like us that manage different clients across a variety of different industries. I guess it can be hard at times to sort of keep on top of what client you're creating content for, particular tone of voice, the guidelines. I know something that helps me is sort of making sure that when I'm working on something for one client that I stick to that task until it's finished. That doesn't always work because my attention span isn't that great. But I do try, you know, particularly like I'll set a day that week that I'm going to maybe work on a schedule for that client. So then I'm kind of a bit more in the zone as opposed to jumping around during the day a lot.
I agree. I would say something that really helps for me, I don't know the exact term for it, but I'm going to go with time blocking. So you just sort of basically plan your day and say, okay, for this hour, I'm working on this and nothing else. Unless something urgent comes up, obviously, but that really helps me with schedules and just focusing on one client at a time.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of just naturally fall into it. I mean, I don't want to say I'm a chameleon, but I just like, I kind of just like know my client's like tone of voice and just naturally kind of slip into it when I open up their schedule or whatever I'm working on for them. But I definitely think kind of doing an audit when you first take on that client really helps and kind of see how they've been posting in the past and see how you can put your own spin on it, but really still keep it quite, you know, within that brand's voice. I don't know that I have any advice for that. I'm sorry, guys.
Nailed it, Chloe. You nailed it.
I'm really sorry. I'm just not to brag, but no.
Yeah, I think sort of similar to what Jordan says, like make sure you're just managing your time efficiently. Like, you know, map out what certain days you're working on what client. Make sure you're giving yourself enough time throughout the day to complete that task, because it's so easy for something else to pop up. And then suddenly your mind switches and you might see an email and suddenly you look at that, but then you were working on a schedule. So just make sure, you know, close off any emails, put a timer on that you're going to work on this schedule for the next hour, focus in on it. And yeah, just try and organize your time a little bit, and even like tools like Asana that we use. Yeah, I think that's what I found has helped me manage my time and be able to work on different sort of clients' workload at different times, just being able to like effectively set certain time limits for each client.
Just to add as well, going back to tools, I feel like Canva helps me with their brand kits. It just sort of helps you with the text, the fonts, the colours, everything. It's just in front of you, so you're not going to end up using, I don't know, the wrong font with the wrong color for a different client. I don't know. But yeah, I'd say that's really helpful as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's so handy that Canva has that. So you can literally just upload all your brand colors, like you said, Jordan, your brand fonts, and you've got your, like, you've got your templates there as well. So it helps just create some consistency. And it, Dom, going back to your point, it's interesting you say about like close off your emails. So I remember a while ago, someone giving me advice by saying like, check your emails in the morning, deal with what you need to deal with, then close off your emails for a few hours over the afternoon so you can just crack on, not be distracted, and then go back on them towards the end of the day just to check over, reply to anything that you need to, that kind of thing. So I think that that is something that can be really, really helpful, because I don't know about anyone else, but I say like emails and my cat are my biggest distractions throughout the day, because as soon as I see an email pop up, I want to read it, I want to deal with that. And then before I know it, it's like, oh, that thing that I started 2 hours ago hasn't been finished because I've been distracted. So really, really great tips. So thank you everyone for sharing. Well, that is all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode. You can also connect with us on all major social channels and let us know what you thought about the topics we discussed today. What are your primary struggles as a social media manager and how do you overcome them? We've been Giraffe Social Media. You've been amazing. We will see you next time.